ABC Radio Australia.
The United States has been dealt a blow in its efforts to improve relations with the Pacific Island countries and counter China's efforts to exert more influence in the region. As President Joe Biden prepares to host a White House summit with Pacific leaders, Solomon Islands is already making it clear it won't sign up to a proposed new pact. Marion Farr has this exclusive report.
It's an agreement that covers everything from climate change to economic development.
Strengthening our partnership, bolstering Pacific regionalism, tackling climate change as a big priority.
The president of the Federated States of Micronesia, David Panuelo, says the 11-point declaration between the United States and Pacific Island nations sets out key priorities for the relationship.
Enhancing our cooperation and advancing economic growth and sustainable development in the Pacific. We are committed to supporting each other to prepare and respond to natural disasters.
The White House wants to clinch the agreement at a meeting with Pacific leaders in Washington this week, but not everyone is on board. Solomon Islands has indicated it won't sign up because it wants more time to consider it. That's likely to increase anxieties in the US and Australia, where there are growing concerns about a deepening relationship between Solomon Islands and China. The ABC has approached the Solomon Islands government for comment, but hasn't received a response. While several sources have stressed that negotiations over the joint declaration are still ongoing, Samoan Prime Minister Fiamme Naomi Mata'afa says she supports it.
It's a developing, I think, opportunity for the region.
She says it bears some resemblance to a more sweeping trade and security deal China sought with 10 Pacific nations in May.
I mean, they're similar in the intent, you know, of the proposing party, which, you know, in this instance is the US and China as well.
The Chinese deal was shelved over concerns that some Pacific states had been excluded from discussions.
We've been insisting that if partners wish to talk to us collectively, then they need to do it through the modalities of the Pacific Forum.
It's criticism the White House has also faced. Cook Islands, Niue, New Caledonia and French Polynesia initially weren't invited to this week's presidential summit. Samoa's PM was among leaders who urged the US to reconsider the guest list, which it did, extending invites to all members of the Pacific Islands Forum.
When the Chinese were proposing something similar, we were giving them that message, but it didn't seem to filter through, or they weren't willing to take that on board.
Director of the Lowy Institute's Pacific Islands program, Dr. Meg Keane, says the real test goes beyond signing an agreement.
There has been promises, in fact, on a number of these type of topics in the past, and there hasn't been strong deliveries.
Palau President Sarangal Whips Jr. agrees.
I like the hope that it's just not a photo op at the White House and then that's the end of it. I mean, I hope it's substantial programs and initiatives that really build that partnership.
For now, the White House is just hoping to get a Pacific seal of approval for its new policy direction.
And that report was from Marion Farr and Stephen Judgetts. And as we just heard, one Pacific nation that is supporting the 11-point declaration with the United States is Samoa. Prime Minister Fiamme Naomi Mata'afa explains why.
The Pacific, of course, are very much prioritizing climate change. You know, we're very keen on the development that has been going on for decades now for the multidimensional vulnerability index, you know, which puts a different lens, you know, especially taking into account the specificities of small island states and their vulnerabilities. So here at the UN, we've been advocating very strongly about that. And we should, you know, take up the opportunity while we're talking to the Americans to garner their support for the endorsement at the UN of the MBI, because that's very important to the SIDS, small island developing states. Of course, the security issues will come up, especially maritime securities with the, you know, our particular focus on the ocean. not only the protection, you know, of the fisheries, but also the maritime boundaries.
You mentioned, you touched on the topic of security there, and I know that that's been a big interest to many sort of countries lately. Are you open to the US playing a more active role as a defence partner with Pacific countries?
Well, I'm not so sure about defence. Well, it's more about, you know, security in the terms of protections of maritime assets. You know, when you begin to talk about defence, you know, you're sort of looking at scenarios where, you know, other, you know, countries or forces will be coming into the Pacific. We don't see it that way. We wouldn't like to encourage that in any way. You know, sovereignty is very important. There are arrangements around regional security that have been going on for, you know, many decades. But that's the way we're viewing security issues. I mean, of course, you know, there have been a lot of talk about the situation in Solomon Islands. But, you know, I think Solomon Islands has a particular set of conditions that, you know, many of us in the Pacific don't have. It's probably something, you know, that has to be worked through.
How similar is this declaration with the region-wide deal that China was seeking with 10 Pacific nations earlier this year? Are the two comparable?
Yeah, they're similar in the intent, you know, of the proposing party, which, you know, in this instance is the US, and with China as well. But I think the point that we are wanting to make, and, you know, at least the Americans have worked through with us, you know, to quite a large extent, probably not fully, about, you know, what's the modality of our meeting. So we've been insisting that if partners wish to talk to us collectively, then they need to do it through the modalities of the Pacific Forum. Now, when the Chinese were proposing something similar, we were giving them that message, but it didn't seem to filter through, or, you know, they weren't willing to take that on board. Mind you, the Chinese were trying to do this whilst most of us were in lockdown. So, you know, it was very much virtual, whereas this one is taking place face-to-face. You know, because borders have opened up, there has been, you know, a negotiated build-up to the meeting where, you know, the positioning has been going backwards and forwards between the US side and the Pacific side.
And you've really sort of pressed, I guess, or expressed the importance of Pacific regionalism, but I'm wondering about your thoughts on how that's sort of come under strain recently. And at the UNGA, we saw the president of Kiribati say something along the lines of his concern about, you know, regionalism being used to serve the interests of certain players. What are your thoughts about those sorts of comments?
The forum went through a process of rebuilding the relationship with the Northern Territories, who had started the process of leaving the forum. But then, you know, there was a process of reconciling, and all of the Northern members, with the exception of Kiribati, have returned to the forum. Now, that's unfortunate, but it happens, you know. I mean, I don't think, you know, anywhere with these types of regional arrangements, you know, that there are perfect situations as we might want them to be. And I think Kiribati has a particular set of, you know, issues themselves that, you know, they need to work through.
What does the United States need to show that this is a genuine partnership and that it's a genuine partner to the Pacific? And what role do you expect the US to play in coming years?
Well, I think at the outset, hearing, you know, just on this issue of how they should work with us collectively. So, you know, that, I mean, that's really important to us. And they've been able to demonstrate that they've heard us. They had particular ideas of how they wanted to work with us. You know, we've had the backwards and forwards. So I think the expectation would be that there is better understanding between parties, you know, that we can really identify common interests, you know, because everyone talks about each country's interests and so forth. Well, you know, at some point and on, you know, different issues, that's what you need to find. What is it that you have in common?
That was Samoa's Prime Minister Fiamie Naomi Mataafa speaking there to ABC's Marion Farr.